Let's begin with a word of prayer and then move into our study today and our worship of God. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly, the wonderful opportunities you give us to minister, to put out the gospel, Heavenly Father, to believers and unbelievers. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Let's see. Now, does anyone not have the Three Heavens outline sermon? Anyone not have it? You got to have it. Okay. The last page is your hymn today. The last page. Smitten, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. And, of course, this comes from Isaiah 53. This is probably my last commercial. We're almost through with this great chapter of the Bible, and in which it uses that exact presentation of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was smitten, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, and we esteemed him so because he deserved it. We did not understand that he was doing it for us, but he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted for us. So let's stand and sing. Great chapter of the Bible. All right, first of all, let's cover some prayer requests. And let's see, do we have any prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Anyone? How's Tana doing, Pat?
Oh, her next appointment is Tuesday with the doctor that Fish had talked to.
So, okay.
And the first appointment, she wasn't very happy with. So.
This last week?
Yeah.
Okay. So please continue to be in prayer for wisdom.
Yes.
What she ought to do and the direction she ought to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be good. Okay, please be in prayer. And any other prayer requests? Yes.
Yeah, one of my older brothers, Mark McMillan, is has a problem, colon cancer, minor slow-growing tumor they're going to have to go and take out probably next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you say next week, talking about this coming week
yes,
or the
sir.
Week? Or,
yeah. We, okay. We're thinking this coming week.
Okay, this coming week.
They're going after, they're going quickly.
Tell Mark we'll be in prayer. Absolutely, good. Any other prayer requests? Chris Dave, what's going on with young people?
I have no idea.
Well, you got a meeting coming up.
We do. October 22nd, we have a meeting. Apologies, I didn't get the email out. It will go out today. To anybody who wants to be involved, we're planning the remainder of this year and then all through next year through camp.
Okay.
Annual cycle. So.
All right, very good. John, you had your hand.
Well, I've got some Thanksgiving. My mom's not doing any better walking around, just barely getting around on her walker. But she's got palliative care now through hospice, which is really a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 24-hour, if she needs it, a day, a week, even on weekends or holidays. So they do an evaluation and make her medication appropriate for what she needs and many personal things it might.
That's a real calling, working with hospice. And I used to go to the gym 5 days a week. I run into a couple that were hospice workers, and, man, it's a calling. Yeah.
The only thing she saw before was hospice when my dad went in. And it was straight from the doctor's office, and he was there in hospice for 2 weeks, 14 days.
Oh, okay.
So it took a little introduction to her to let her know that this palliative care was available, and it eased her a lot.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we'll continue being in prayer.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Good. Any other prayer requests? Okay. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one, first of all, who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, because it is the Spirit who guides us in what to do with our time and our money. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we're becoming more and more aware of how preachers, teachers around the world are coming under severe attack for teaching the truth of your word. Even teaching the truth of the gospel by saying that there will be people who spend eternity in a lake of fire that offends so many. Father, we thank you for the freedom we still enjoy in America. We thank you for the freedom we have to come, study the Word of God, as we see your Spirit leading us and understanding what's going on in Scripture. And therefore, Father, we thank you for this assembly. We pray that you receive the offerings. Guide us in the wise use of this money. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. You do know that in sitting in a church auditorium, the right left doesn't apply. You can sit on the left side and it's just fine. Okay, everyone have the three heavens, the copy of today's message. Okay, this is going to be technical, it's biblical, it's important. And I'll show you how it's going to be important to you later on in history. But if you want practical theology, you want a message, just tell me how to live, then you want to come to 9:15 study, especially starting next Sunday. We're going to be studying how man is not for the woman, but woman is for the man. I thought about sending that to Donald Trump. Boy, he'd get in trouble if he were to quote that verse. But we're going to study some very practical things starting next Sunday in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So you want more practical theology. You don't really care about the heavens. You're already married and have children. You don't look at the heavens anymore in romantic ways. So, but this is an important study. So, let's spend a moment, prepare ourselves, be sure that you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, that He can guide in the understanding of the importance of God's creation. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, if we didn't have these passages, we'd be asking, what about the heavens? What's going on? But you've, in grace and in love, and an understanding of our makeup, have given us enough information that we can trust you as to the things we do not know. Father, pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you have to say, to understand. In Christ's name, amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image. Now remember, we're in the section that is the most declarative of Jesus Christ in all the Bible. You will learn more in verses 15 through 19 than in any of the Gospels, the whole Bible. You can put it together in various places, but no place do you have the verses as we have here. Verse 15, He, Jesus Christ, is the image, visible image, of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For because by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Now, what I want to do is just show you the fun of what I do in my office. Look how we learn by the numbers of this verse. One, for by Him, or because of Him, that is the deity of Jesus Christ, the all things were created. Three, both in heavens and earth. Four, visible and invisible. Five, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Six, all things have been created through Him. And seven, for Him. Now, we're going to go through and work on these, but that's how you take a verse and see what it says. Not what you want it to say, but what it says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, and the reason for that is because by Him, that is, by the spoken word, and we study passages that He created things by speaking, the all things, and the definite article is there in the Greek, doesn't make smooth English, makes perfect Greek, the all things were created. Now, if we study the doctrine of creation, now we come to a list of areas that are important in the angelic conflict, both in the heavens and on earth. Okay, let's get to work on this ideal of the heaven. The Greek word from which heaven comes has the root meaning of solid crystal or spatial expansion. The origin of this word has to do with water. Now, I'm going to go through some rather technical things here, but I've given you the source. Some of you could care less. There's going to be one or two of you like Kit. You're going to want to know, where does he get that? Where does that come from? So it is my responsibility to do this, give it to you, not as a footnote, but right here. So in Colin Brown, the New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology, Volume 2, and I have all four volumes in my office, page 188 to 196. Look at that. 188 to 196, dealing with heavens. So there's a whole lot to learn. And what I like about him, he's very technical. Get some really serious information you're not going to get in a standard Unger dictionary. Now, after the angelic conflict, God cast all the fallen angels, those who choose to go with Satan, into the deep. That's a great important word in ancient Near Eastern mythology. It means the depths of the expanse of water. Then God froze the water. Then as the Holy Spirit moved over the deep, Genesis 1-2, water covered the earth, and way out there is yet another heavenly ocean. This is in Brown, page 189. The vastness between these two great waters was called heaven. So if you want to simplify, the word heaven means between the waters. So here we have earth covered in water. Then way out here, way out yonder up here, we have another circle of water. So you have two things. And between this water and this water, the heavens is what we're dealing with. So this is the area that we're dealing with here. After the angelic conflict, God cast all the fallen angels into the deep, which I've read. Then as the Holy Spirit moved over the deep, Genesis 1-2, water covered the earth, and way out there, yet another heavenly ocean of circle of water, and that area between these two waters is called the heavens. Look at Genesis 1-8. Oh, you don't have to. James put it here for you. All right. Genesis 1-8. God called the expanse heaven. The New American Standard has in the margin firmament. The Hebrew word means exactly that. Expanse or firmament. An extended surface. A vault that lies between that area of water around the earth and that heavenly ocean way out in space, and the area is called the vacuum that is formed there is the heavens. This word also comes from the root boundary. The Complete Biblical Library, Volume 4, page 414, or the boundary above, referring to these waters serving as a boundary above the earth, yet below the heavenly ocean, or the outer circle of water around the space. This vacuum called heaven. Now, lexicon definitions. The Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament simply says heaven, sky, air. In the New Testament, in a physical sense, it means the overarching, all-embracing heaven beneath which is the earth and that and all that is in there is that is therein. It also is used for that heaven where the residence of God is, called by the psalmist the holy heavens. A Greek-English lexicon, this is another one of the New Testament, Art and Gingrich, where they take some four full columns, and when I say they're columns with little bitty print. I remember when I needed to get some new glasses. I decided I wanted to show Dr. Passmore my problem. So I took him my Hebrew book and the Art and Gingrich book. And I showed him, this is my problem. I can't read that. He looked at it, he says, nobody can read that. So, but it's very small, but it's four columns that he takes up for that. And the reason I point that out is to show they simply say heaven. The first thing out of it is heaven. Then they go through their four columns to elaborate. This is what is found in several of the Greek lexicons. The word heaven followed by pages discussing various aspects of heaven. Now, Old Testament lexicons generally also start with a simple word, heaven or sky, and then also move on to various discussions concerning the word. I really appreciate James. He called and he said, I jumped out there a little bit. I threw in some pictures. Are they okay? And I looked at him and said, oh, they're great. And be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. So this is the importance of the heavens. Now, meaning of the word heaven. Colossians 1:16, for by him, or because of him, the all things were created in the heavens. Plural. Throughout the word of God, there are basically three heavens, or three, at least three heavens. Point two, the plural heavens. You will note in Colossians 1:16, for by him all the things were created in the heavens, plural. Throughout the word of God, there are basically three heavens, or at least three heavens. First heaven is that portion of the sky immediately around the earth. That's the part that the rain comes from. That part we just see above the earth, the clouds, that's called the first heaven. This is the abode of the birds of the air, the clouds. Then there's a second heaven. It's what we see on a clear night, when we look way up into the vastness of the stars and celestial creations. This is the area of outer space, like the galaxies. The far-off space of the stars, many, of course, can be seen with the naked eye, but as you get older, they get blurred. But also, multitudes require high-power telescopes to see. The first biblical reference is found in Genesis 1:14. Then God said, "Let there be lights or luminaries in the expanse of the heavens." This is not creation. This is restoration. And one of these is the sun. Others are planets, comets. Comets are luminaries in contrast to satellites, which are simply reflectors. There are no comets in our... By the way, I'm going to show you the importance of all this, so just bear with me. I know it's technical. Bear with me. There are no comets in our heaven galaxy, but they exist in other galaxies. But we do have meteors in our galaxy. Meteors enter our atmosphere at great velocity, and it has been estimated that there are some 75 million meteors entering the Earth's atmosphere daily. Yet we're still here. Okay. Chinese scientists tell us that an asteroid is headed in the direction of the Earth with the force of 3 billion bombs. So, if you don't have enough to worry about, here is something to add to your list. Or you can simply trust God, say, "There's not a thing I can do about it anyway. I trust you," and let it go at that. Okay. Now, as we read on in Genesis 1:14-18, and then God tells us some of their functions, to separate the day from the night, let there be signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth as it was so, and it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So, the purpose of our solar system in the second heaven is given. We have 5 given functions of the second heaven. 1, to divide the day from the night. Purpose of the sun. 2, discerning the times. 3, for seasons, divisions of the year, winter, the season of dormancy, spring, the season of sowing and germination, summer, the season of growth and maturity, autumn, the season of harvest. Oh, God had this worked out beautifully. 4, for days and years, the rotation of the earth was the solar standard for determining time until 1940, called solar time. But after 1940, we used a much more accurate measure called atomic time. And you can go on Google and work all that out. I decided not to give you any of that and work all that down other than that. Verse 15, to give light to the earth. Now, to give you some idea of just how vast the second heaven is, and all that it involves, let us look at how astronomy measures the universe, because we go to billions of miles within our solar system. The system for this measuring is in reference to how fast light travels. Light travels 146,000 miles per second. If you multiply that by 60 seconds or 1 minute, you can tell how many light travels in 1 minute. 11,160,000 miles per minute. You carry this out to the year, and from this we have what astronomers call light years. 1 light year equals about 6 trillion miles. And James put in a beautiful picture of the galaxy here. And it talks about it. Now, beyond our system lie still more galaxies. With the naked eye, you can observe 100 light years away. So to really think of just how big the second heaven is, you have to think in terms of galaxy clusters. As we read on in Genesis 1, 14 through 18, and then God tells us one of their functions, to separate the day from the night, let them be signs for seasons and for the days. Let them be for light, the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. God made the great lights and the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. People, it amazes me how intelligent people can say there is no design in creation. How they can look at all these things and the way everything functions. Start with the human body, but just go to the whole galaxy. There's no creative design. How can you say that? A fool can look up there and say, wow, this is something. But not they. All right, Virgo, for example, is a cluster of several thousand galaxies. Not just one star, but a cluster of galaxies. And it is 50 million light years away, yet you can see it with the naked eye. The Milky Way is simply a series of galaxies. The Big Dipper. When you look at the Big Dipper with your girlfriend, you're looking some 650 million light years away. See? Impress her with that information. Another very important reason for the design of the second heaven was for the purpose of special signs and wonders and miracles. Some of the great events of history, such events as the signs and wonders associated with Joshua's long day, the Exodus journey, the cross, remember it got dark at noon. Of course, the heavenly signs at the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are no such signs for the rapture of the church. We're just going to be gone 1 minute. Okay, now remember, first heaven, second heaven, but way out there is a third heaven beyond the second. There's a third heaven out there. The third heaven we cannot see. It is way out there, way out yonder, and there as the abode of God, where the throne of God is, the Garden of Stones. This is where Jesus Christ sits right now. At the right hand of God, way out there in that third heaven. Now, all this about the second heaven may not be all that important to you right now. But if you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, die before the rapture, I want to give you some idea of how far your soul will travel to be with the Lord. Also, what is going on in the second heaven is not all that important to us right now in the church age. But it will become significant in eschatology, that is, during and at the end of the tribulation, at the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Much of this celestial activity is covered in the book of Revelation. So it's not all that important to us, except when you die. And your soul is going, whoop, he's going to beam you right through the second heaven and whoop, right up to the third heaven to be with the Lord. It's going to be unbelievable. I can't wait to die. It's going to be exciting. See how all this works. This is going to be something. See? Okay. 1. The third heaven. This is the dwelling of God. The throne. Now, of course, God is omnipresent. But there is a place where he reveals himself in the second person of the Godhead, Jesus the Christ. This is a real place with a real location in the third heaven. It is a real place. 2, this is where the throne of God is located. Psalm 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. God, even Jesus Christ, can look down from the third heaven. I'm always amused. And I understand it. And I'm very serious when they ask. But I wonder if my wife or my husband or my parents can look down and see what's happening. People know. They don't care. They're with the Lord. Do you understand that? They're with the Lord. We're unimportant. I'm sorry to tell you that. I'm just doing it from the pulpit, not personally, not while you're crying and all that at a funeral. But they're busy. They're with Jesus the Christ, their Savior, their friend. They're in the presence of God. Why would they think about us? We don't matter. They don't care. The human eye can't look through all that. Jesus Christ supernaturally can look and see all of these things. Okay. God, even Jesus Christ, can look down from the third heaven and view everything going on the earth. Psalm 103, verse 19. I can tell you right now, James, we're going to be through very early. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. His sovereignty rules over the first layer, the second heaven, and the third heaven. He rules over all the angelic authorities in the second heaven on earth. Three, this is also called the dwelling place of God, the third heaven. 2 Chronicles 6:21. Listen to the supplications of your servant and of your people, Israel. When they pray toward this place, hear from your dwelling place, from heaven, hear and forgive. So we realize he's sitting up there on his throne. That's where he is. Four. The third heaven is a dwelling place of the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Matthew 3:16. And the Holy Spirit is called the heavenly gift. Hebrews 6:4. That is from heaven. Five. This is also called the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 4:17. By the way, if you have a yellow dot every now and then, neither James nor I nor the printer know why that's there. So just ignore it. Okay? Just let it be. All right. Six. Jesus Christ, in his resurrected body, ascended through the first and second heaven, and at this very moment is seated at the right hand of God in the third heaven. So the resurrected body of Christ is there, which reveals that this is a real, literal place. His resurrected body is real and literal. He is sitting in a real and literal place in the third heaven. The third heaven is extremely important to the believer in the church age, living in the period called the mystery. One. First, this is the place of your second birth. The third heaven is the place of your second birth. John 3:3 speaks of being born from above. Not born again, born from above. This is very important in the thinking of every believer. In your first birth, you were born here on earth, the cosmos. But in your second birth, you are from above, the third heaven. This is where we're from. The best way I know how to relate this is to take a personal illustration. I was in the military, stationed in Germany. Okay, I was in another country, all of its politics, all of its affairs, didn't care about, didn't get involved. I wasn't from there. I kept a little bit of tabs what was going on in America. That's my home. That's where I'm from. But I really didn't care all that much about what was going on in Germany. I had a car. I had clothes. Clothes that befitted wearing for their country. But as far as it caring about all their stuff, I didn't really care all that much. I still cared about what was happening back in America. people, when we get our headstone straight, it's not what's happening here on earth. It's what's going on in heaven. That one day, one minute, Jesus Christ is going to stand up. And when he stands up, he's coming down here. Now, how long it takes him to beam from there to here, I don't know. But it's going to happen in a twink of an eye. He's going to be here. So, this is the third heaven. This is where you're from. You are from this third heaven. Two, your citizenship is in this third heaven. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. People, I was in Germany. I didn't get my money from Germany. I didn't get it in German money. I got my money from where I was from. People, you and I get blessings. They may come in the form that we can use on this earth, but they're from heaven. Every blessing you have. Start thinking about what you have instead of what you don't have. Think about what you have to be happy for and thankful for than what you don't. Last night, Judith was watching on TV, and it was a program, and it was difficult for me, I'll just tell you right now, on deformed or, what would you say, bizarre bodies of babies and children. Their heads were real big, and their muscles, just all kinds of problems related. And I leaned over to her, and I said, how many times have you given thanks for your three children? And she said, you don't know. And I said, yeah, I do know. You see things like that, you think, thank you, Father. Sometimes I hate them. Sometimes I want to kill them. But thank you that they're normal. See? Be thankful for what you have, not what you don't have. So this is our citizenship, and our blessings come from our citizenship. It's amazing how many Christians get so caught up in this world. When we are not of or from this world, we are ambassadors for Christ here on earth. Our citizenship is in the third heaven. We're here to tell others of Christ. That's all that we're here for. Sometimes we get this idea, God owes me. We're like the people, the government owes me. God doesn't owe you anything. It's our privilege to tell others of Jesus Christ, to suffer for Jesus Christ, to sacrifice for Jesus Christ. It comes from our study this morning in 9:15 class. Be imitators of Christ. You want to imitate Christ? Sacrifice. He did not come for his own benefit. He came for the benefit of others. So if you want to imitate Christ, you better know what that means. I want to follow Jesus. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to follow him? Then you better be ready to sacrifice. It's not about you. It's about him. For him, it was about bringing people to his heavenly Father. So, we do not look for great blessings from the world, but from third heaven, at the coming of Jesus Christ. One day, Jesus Christ will stand up in his resurrected body from the third and the third heaven, travel all through the second heaven, and as he approaches earth, a trumpet will sound, and every believer will rise up and meet him in the air until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, he doesn't touch earth. He goes third heaven, comes through the second heaven, comes into the first heaven, and stops. Here's the earth. He doesn't touch earth yet. He will not touch earth until second advent. Till he comes and sets up his throne in Israel, Jerusalem. So this is the issue. And we study this in 1 Thessalonians 4. Look what it says. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, by the authority of God, that we who are alive and remain, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven, singular, third heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That's everyone who's buried in the ground. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together. They come up out of the grave, here we are standing on the earth, and we all go up together and meet the Lord in the air. Then we who are alive, verse 17, and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. People, that phrase right there, there's what heaven's about. You're going to be with the Lord forever. Amen and amen, and that's all I need to know. That isn't going to be bad. Verse 18, and I love this, comfort one another with these words. What have we done with these words? Well, I want all the pre-trib over here. I want all the post-trib over here. I want all the mid-trib here. I want the pre-rapture people here. We've used it to divide. Comfort one another with these words. No, we're going to divide on it. It's amazing how arrogant we are with Scripture. How we like to divide rather than comfort on these words. So the rapture, we will meet the Lord in the first heaven, in the clouds. Now, point three. The third heaven is the location of all divine blessings. The abode of God is the sphere of our blessings. Colossians 1:5, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, what about the earthly things? Who cares? That's what I'm trying to say to you. People, if you've got earthly things to be thankful for, a home, a car, all these kind of things, just give thanks. Don't sit there and think, I don't have this and I don't have that. Just give thanks what you do have. We had a rare Saturday yesterday. I was able to finish 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the study. So Judith and I went off and we went by an estate sale. And we're driving away. I said, isn't it funny? We're going to buy their junk. They're going to come by and buy our junk. And then 3 years later, one of those people is going to come home and say, hey, we sold that 3 years ago. What'd you bring it home for? I mean, it's just amazing how this all works. We just always want other people's stuff. When I was a bachelor, I had a poster in my garage. Whoever ends up with the most stuff wins. And it had a big pile with a kitchen sink and all this stuff, golf clubs, all that stuff. People, it's not about stuff on earth. Please understand that. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. And if parents would teach their children this, it's not about your popularity or your looks. It's about your character. It's about, do they see Christ in you? That's what it's about. John 3:27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. That's the third heaven, people. Everything you and I have, we give thanks for. And realize it comes all the way from the third heaven. It may say made in China, but it's given to you from the third heaven. Alright? Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The basis of our blessing is in Christ from the third heaven. John 3:27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Okay, it brings us to point four. Colossians 1:5. We saw the hope laid up for you in heaven. 5, our inheritance is stored in the third heaven for us. That's where your inheritance is. I think it's so funny. I've never experienced this. I got grandchildren now coming over. I want that when you die. I want that when you die. I know my grandson, when I'm die or laying there dead, he's going to come and take this watch off of me. I know he's going to. I don't care if it's at home or in the hospital. He's just going to come in and take it off because I told him he could have it. See? People, our inheritance is not here on earth. Don't worry about things on this earth. Your inheritance is in heaven, and that's eternal. That's eternal. That spiritual value will not fade away. 1 Peter 1:4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. This is powerful, people. Start thinking in terms of the third heaven. 6, in the angelic conflict, the third heaven is very important. For it is here that the victory of Jesus Christ will take place. Ephesians 1:20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. You cannot imagine how upset Satan was when the humanity of Christ sat on the throne next to God. He lusted up to that position. And here was this lowly creature of humanity. Lowly humanity taken and seated there at the right hand of God in heaven. 7. This is the place of your eternal security, that you are saved forever in Jesus Christ. This is your eternal security. Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up with him at the point of faith in Jesus Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where you are. Point 7 again, just so we'll get back into the momentum. This is the place of your eternal security. Where's your security? That you're going to live forever with Christ, that you're saved forever in Christ, and raised up with him at the point of faith in Christ, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Roman 3, supernatural creatures. Angels exist in all three heavens. This includes fallen angels and elect angels. They travel through the second heaven in order to get to and from the third heaven, where all the activity between God and the angels, elect and fallen, takes place. Job 1:2, 1 John 2:1, Revelation 12:10. For with all this that is going on in the three heavens, both now and in the future, God possesses all three of the heavens. Genesis 14:19, which means nothing happens that is outside of the control of God. You don't have to worry about that asteroid hitting the earth. If God wants it to, it will. If God doesn't want it to, it won't. Not a thing you and I can do about it. Okay, there's one more important teaching related to the heavens. One, eternity is described in three designations. Eternity being after the millennium. New heaven, Revelation 21:1. New earth, 21:1. New Jerusalem, 21:2 and 10. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. I always laugh when the Palestinians try to say the Jews just came to the land. They've never been there before. And yet, it goes all the way back and all the way into the future. All right, point two. The new heaven is eternal. The new heaven replaces the old heavens, which are burned with fire. 2 Peter 3:10 and 13. This is the eternal residence of all the believers of the church age. 2 Peter 3:13. 3. Since we will cover next in Colossians 1:16, Jesus Christ's creation of the earth, let us note here the presence of the new earth, so we don't have to cover it next week. In eternity future, the new earth is proclaimed in Revelation 21:1. It will replace the present earth, 2 Peter 3:13. The new earth is part of the literal promise of the Abrahamic and Palestinian covenants. Genesis 17:8. I, God, will give you Abraham and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. The new earth will last forever. This may be a hint as to where the Jews will be in the eternal kingdom. All right, that just may be. Roman 4. New Jerusalem is described in Revelation 21:9 through 27. Jesus Christ will be the temple. He will be the light of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem will fulfill a promise made to Abraham. Revelation 11, 9 and 10. By faith he, Abraham, lived as an alien in the land of promise. And people, that's what we are. We're aliens here. As in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect is the builder, is God. This will be the New Jerusalem. I would close this section of our study with a look at the three characteristics of the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21, 3 through 5, the new heaven and the new earth. And I heard a loud voice, from this is John speaking, from the throne, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away. People, that these kind of phrases just to give you total peace. I don't know all the little ifs and ands about heaven, but I can tell you right now, Jesus Christ is going to be there, and God is among men. God himself will be among them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away, first of the earth. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these are the words of faithful and true. Okay, summary one. It will be the personal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be accessible to all believers in the new heavens and earth and Jerusalem. Two, perfect happiness in all eternity. That's what it's going to be. Perfect happiness. Three, perfect and perpetual newness. Why are you afraid to die? Don't ever be afraid to die. It's exciting. It's exciting, the things that are going to happen. And then eternity future, even more so. Now back to Colossians 1, 15 and 16. He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, because by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth. The earth, the angelic conflict, is centered on planet Earth. The earth was designed and created by Jesus Christ as the habitat for angels. And after the judgment of the angelic conflict, casting fallen angels into the deep, God then restored the earth for the habitat of mankind as a designated place to resolve the angelic conflict. For God gave to man authority over the earth in Eden. Genesis 1:28. But Satan became the ruler of this world by the fall of man. John 12:31. Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. That's Satan. John 14:30. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world, Satan, is coming, and he is nothing in me. Ephesians 2:2. In which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. People, don't be amazed and scared of what's going on in the world. God's in total control. 6, but make no doubt about this. The earth belongs to God. He is in control, and it is he who has given his authority to Satan. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. All belong to him. 7, because of the fall of man, the earth was put under a curse. Genesis 3, Paul wrote of the groaning of the earth in Romans 8, 20 and 21, but it will be freed in the new earth in Revelation 21, 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea in it. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You owe me 20 minutes. I will collect on it at 5 minutes, probably at a shot, in the following Sundays to come. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you for calming our souls as we look out into the second heavens, the galaxies. Thank you for calming our soul at the existence of beings out there, angels, fallen intellect. Thank you for giving us the hope of eternal life in the new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth. You showed us mercy and love and understanding and giving us so much information. We now rest our hope, our confidence in you and your control of all these things. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, let them settle in our souls and then in our lives as we witness to others about how Jesus Christ controls all things. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.